This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, supported in part by the Daily Progress. Check out dailyprogress.com for the latest news in Charlottesville. We all have opinions on the growth going on in Charlottesville and surrounding counties, but Jack Marshall is well positioned to make his declaration that Albemarle County needs to set an optimal sustainable population. Marshall is a cultural anthropologist who has spent many years studying the effects of population growth. Now he's the president of Advocates for a Sustainable Albemarle Population. Marshall took the group's message to the Ivy Creek Foundation at its annual meeting on June 25th in the foundation's new education building. This audio lasts for about 43 minutes and includes a question and answer period.
I'm honored to have been invited to talk with y'all and remember long annual meetings of the Ivy Creek Foundation when they were in the barn, in the sweltering barn. And the fact that we're here now in this lovely air-conditioned building is a nice illustration of the fact that we can have healthy development without population growth. This afternoon, let me mention I'm wearing this thing because Sean Tubbs in the back corner is immortalizing this for what it's worth. But on his, he really does a good job of recording what's happening in the community and putting them on his own website, which is, Sean?
SeavillePodcast.com.
And I can't imagine why you'd want to hear what I'm saying a second time, but there's other good stuff on his site. This afternoon, I hope to stimulate some thinking about an issue that, more than any other issue that I can think of, has the probability of degrading the local environment and eroding our quality of life. I'm going to be talking about local population growth. Because we've bought into the myth that growth is inevitable, most of us simply wring our hands as we complain about the impacts of growth and do nothing effective to deal with the problem over the long haul. First, I want to briefly define the problem by summarizing the extent of growth in our area and some of its major impacts. Then I'll review what the county is doing about population growth and propose what I think is a logical but paradigm-shifting proposal, well, at least it's provocative, to add to the current arsenal of mechanisms to manage local growth. I believe that we can and must control our demographic fate at global, national, and local levels. And what I'm going to be talking about is what ASAP is doing, Advocates for a Sustainable Albemarle Population. As I told one of you before I started talking, at the end of my presentation, you'll either never want to hear about ASAP again or possibly go over and pick up one of these brochures that tells you more about it. I'd like to keep the discussion informal. Don't hesitate to ask me questions. But let's save critical comments for a discussion period when I'm finished. So, what's happening with growth locally? Well, as you know, Charlottesville has remained relatively steady at about 40,000 people for over 30 years. It really isn't changing. Albemarle County, though, has doubled in size since the mid-1970s. We now have about 90,000 residents. We're adding 2,000 every year. And this is what we've done. We started in the 60s. 2,000 every year means that every day the Albemarle County population increases by 5 people. And those 5 people, to my astonishment, bring an average of 3.7 cars with them. So if you wonder why you're waiting a little longer at the traffic light, it's because yesterday there were 3.5 new cars in front of you. For the past 3 decades, Albemarle County has grown at a pace faster than India. At this rate, we'll double our size in about 33 years, which means that we're going to need twice as many schools, twice as many houses, twice as much water, and so forth, and we're going to be turning out at least twice as much waste into the environment. those of us who deplore this kind of growth aren't just misanthropic. It isn't the additional people themselves that are the problem, it's the impact. And it isn't just population growth that creates the threats to our environment. It's a combination of population size and consumption.
I'm sorry to ask, why do we know that it's going to continue at that 2.1%?
We don't. We don't, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. But this is what it's been in the past. This is the last decade's growth in these. We're doing more than our share. Albemarle County is doing more than its share for Virginia and the country, if fair share is an issue.
Has Virginia as a whole continued at that 1.3 for the same length of time that we've continued at the 2.1?
Yes, yes, in a word. As I say, I'm not going to be talking about consumption today, but I don't want to deny its importance. But the 500 people in the little village in North India, where I lived for a couple years, probably do less environmental damage each year than 24 middle-class Americans. And so consumption issues are important, but today I want to focus on population. The two natural areas that the foundation operates are safe and self-contained islands in the county's sea of rapidly expanding numbers of residents that impact the larger system. Right? Population growth may have consequences for the rest of the community, but the Ivy Creek and Ragged Mountain areas are immune since no one can live in them. Does anyone disagree with that?
Yeah.
Why? Good point. Why else? Good second point. Other reasons?
Noise pollution.
Noise pollution?
More people using the parks?
Siltation and sediment in the South Fork Rivanna Reservoir. Acid rain, that's going to change what we see out here. Biodiversity, habitat gets fragmented surrounding us, and of course that has an effect on what we can see in our own natural areas. Yeah, we're not an island here. The population hasn't been all bad for the Ivy Creek Foundation. In fact, you all know why or how this was created in the first place. When the county recognized that there would be population growth in the future and it needed to protect its watershed, it downzoned the area in the watershed to protect the South Fork Rivanna Reservoir. And in downzoning, it created some areas, that was no longer feasible for the kind of development that had been planned. And so it ultimately wended its way to the foundation. So in fact, we're here today because of population growth. That's past. Okay, what's going to happen? Will this growth continue? It was Liz's question. The answer is, well, we don't know, but probably. First, Didi has some wonderful photos of what's happened in the past. And this is 1963, this is 94, and there are a number of steps in between. Come over here after my talk and look at these pictures. They're astonishing. And ask yourselves, well, is it going to stop suddenly now? One way that we look at population growth is through build-out, and we're going to get into build-out more in a minute. But the question is, given the potential for development, what can happen? Well, some years ago, the Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission did a laborious analysis of each of the counties in its jurisdiction and said, okay, what is the density now, the population density in each area, and I've just pulled out Albemarle County, and what will it be at build-out? What could it be, given the legal possibilities. You need a key to get a real grip on this, but trust me, green is better than brown. And that's what we are going to see, given current zoning patterns. And I urge you to come up and look at this a little closer, too. More personally, is a map that, in fact, Eben Smith made 100 years ago when he and I were working together with Citizens for Albemarle. And what we said was, let's take one tax parcel and pop a little black square on every place there is a house at that point. And that's what it looks like. And then we said, well, what could it look like if we just follow the law, if we just build out where build out can occur? What's it going to look like? And this is what we come up with. Isn't that scary? This we call the measles map, or it was. It made the front page of the Daily Progress, and they labeled it the measles map at the time. It puts the fear of God into anybody who cares about growth in our area. But doesn't the county see this? Doesn't the county say, whoa, we can't grow like that? What's it doing? Of course it sees it. And there are indeed three major mechanisms in place to deal with growth. The primary one is the division of the county's 750 square miles into rural area and growth area. The rural area is 95% of the county. The growth area is just the remaining 5%. The city is here in the middle. In the rural area, for water, you dig a well. For sewage, you have a septic system. You can't bank on quick fire and police service. That's one of the costs of living in the rural area. And that's all very deliberate. The growth area, or development area, they're used interchangeably, provides pipes to bring in water, pipes to take out sewage. It promises you more quick fire and police service, and has other amenities. That's the main method of dealing with growth, coupled with the second, which is zoning. Building on those two primarily, but a lot of other variables are involved, the county has decided on the density and composition of growth that can occur in every single square inch of the county. And it has far lower density in the rural areas than in the growth areas. And in the rural areas, there can't be the same kind of industrial or commercial development. And the county reviews very carefully developers' site plans to ensure that the zoning ordinances are followed. Zoning is the major mechanism, the second major mechanism for dealing with growth in the county. And the third are conservation easements. And there are two kinds, voluntary conservation easements, where anybody with a parcel of land that qualifies can give the rights to develop to one of several organizations. The most common is the Virginia Outdoor Foundation, which holds in perpetuity the rights to develop. You can't develop them. If you give them away, if say you've had 9 on your plot of land, you give away 8, in perpetuity, going with the deed, there's only one left. The other conservation easement program is, I think, very enlightened. It's the ACE program, about which you all know, Acquisition of Conservation Easements. The county now, for the last, how many years, 6, 7 years, has allocated $1 million a year to buy easements from folks who simply aren't in a position to give them away. But there's a negotiation, and the county says, okay, farmer, we want you to keep this land farmable, or keep it as forest or open fields or whatever. And we're going to buy the rights. We don't want you to sell it to a developer. And it does that because of a very rational reason. It isn't altruism. It isn't because the county likes to look at open space. It's because the costs to the county coffers to us taxpayers of providing schools and so forth for the kids who would inhabit the houses of the developers who would buy that land, it's so much more cost-effective to keep the kids and the developers away and just pay not to develop it. Growth does not pay for itself, and the county has figured that out and says, yeah, given that truth, we're going to take it to its logical conclusion and actually buy the rights for development. Those are the three major mechanisms. The first two of those are called smart growth tools. Smart growth was first articulated 30, 35 years ago. And it has admirable goals. And some of the benefits are substantial. Let me read a description by a smart growth advocate. Primary among the benefits of smart growth may be the improvement of human settlement patterns in ways that will foster a sense of community, reduce the need to drive, facilitate public transportation, put farms, forests, and open space in reach of urban populations. By concentrating growth in already developed areas and slowing human expansion into natural areas, smart growth can help minimize additional ecological impacts as some growth continues. To those of us in ASAP, smart growth is necessary. It's a necessary element in community planning, but it's not sufficient. It's not enough. When done right, smart growth offers short-term solutions to sprawl, but it simply does not guide us over the long haul towards sustainable communities. The point is, the smart growth approach is pretty short-sighted. If the world were to end in 10 or 20 years, as our county's comprehensive plan seems to assume, the smart growth strategy would be fine. New developments would use space efficiently and be aesthetically pleasing. But the world will probably not end in 20 years, and growth, unless we do something about it, will continue inexorably. Smart growth will not stop sprawl into open spaces or degradation of the environment. It can only delay it. Al Bartlett, a national leader in Boulder, Colorado, in local efforts to control population growth, observes that smart growth gets us to the same place as dumb growth. It just gets us there first class. It allows destruction of the environment and our quality of life in a more aesthetic and slightly more leisurely way. Most advocates of smart growth, including local organizations that I admire tremendously and collaborate with on ASAP work, like PEC and SELC and the Sierra Club, really believe smart growth is the key to community planning. Indeed, the corporate culture of most localities' planning departments includes deeply rooted beliefs about the inherent value of smart growth. And they hold these beliefs because they've been socialized by university schools of architecture and planning who also maintain the credo of smart growth. But we've got to recognize some new truths. One is that our future doesn't end in 10 or 20 years. Community planning must be undertaken in the context of much longer horizons than the brief glimpse of the future that now characterizes the Albemarle County Comprehensive Plan. This doesn't mean we must struggle for accurate projections of Albemarle County's vehicular traffic pattern 100 years from now. But we should recognize that there will, in all likelihood, be an Albemarle County here 100 years from now, and whatever we do over the next 10 or 20 years will set the stage for the county in 100 years. Another truth is that the smart growth approach simply isn't working to solve our problems of an expanding population. As you know, if you see these kinds of charts, or if you're involved in virtually any active neighborhood association in the county, And we shouldn't need a train wreck to know that we have to fix the tracks. Yet another truth is that population growth cannot continue endlessly in any finite space, even in the 750 square miles of Albemarle County. Growth will stop for any one of three reasons. First, we run out of an essential, or that area runs out of an essential resource. In our area, it could be water. Secondly, growth will stop ultimately in every finite area because the area becomes so crowded and unattractive that nobody wants to go there anymore. And the people who were there want to move out, like inner cities and some neighborhoods around cities. Or third, growth will stop because we plan ahead. We see this. And we plan ahead to stop before we reach one of these unattractive situations. Of the three ways to end population that I just mentioned, it's obvious that a thoughtful community should want to select the third alternative, stopping at a point while the place is still attractive. Now let me explain what I call the logical but paradigm-shifting proposal, or at least the provocative proposal that I promised at the beginning of my talk. We in ASAP have recently begun drafting a comprehensive plan amendment for submission to the Board of Supervisors sometime in the next year that would require that an optimal, sustainable population size for the county be established and used as a planning guide. The implication, of course, is that the county will make every effort to level off at about that size, and that the county has the tools and the political will to take the necessary steps. An optimal, sustainable population size. What does that mean? Well, first, it's not a specific number. It's a range, a rough range. Second, optimal, sustainable size might mean, for some communities, substantial increases in their population numbers. It doesn't mean that everybody's going to stop tomorrow. There may well be communities, there are communities, that need growth, that need new businesses to provide opportunities for unemployed folks. There are economies of scale. Other communities might believe they have reached those plateaus, and further growth does not help. Third, whether it's a specific number or a range, we know it'll be very hard to identify, but we don't think it'll be impossible. And if you're interested later, we can talk about the methodology that ASAP is starting to propose to identify an optimal, sustainable size. Locally, we start with the recognition that Albemarle's demographic community includes the city of Charlottesville. While the city is administratively separate, we're inextricably linked historically, economically, socially. We believe we must plan our common community future together. We also start with the premise that the current size and structure of our community is pretty good, as judged both by current residents in poll after poll that the county itself has undertaken, and by outsiders. Remember that we were the metropolitan area, not just Charlottesville, not just Albemarle County, were ranked as the best place to live in America just a few years ago. So, for most of us who live here now, the optimal community that we're trying to sustain consists of a small, vibrant city with a narrow ring of suburban neighborhoods, all surrounded by a large rural area with open fields and forests. We don't want to become Richmond or Fairfax, nor, on the other hand, do we want to become Montana. And this community that we cherish must be sustainable. That is, we must meet the needs of the future of the present generation without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. The county acknowledges the importance of this principle, or at least gives it lip service, by including in its comprehensive plan, in our county's comprehensive plan, the sustainability accords that were developed by the Thomas Jefferson Sustainability Council in 1998. And there were a couple people, Martha, was on that, Francis was on it. Anybody else here? Dick was on it too. The council's concluding document states, in a sustainable community, the members understand that there are limits to growth. And among the council's accords quoted in the Albemarle County Comprehensive Plan is the injunction to strive for a size and distribution of human population that will preserve the vital resources of the region for future generations. So, the philosophical stage seems to be set. Can we now perform the next act of this audacious play, an act that actually establishes a limit to local growth, that justifies, that identifies a sustainable size? Well, significantly, there's already a cap on growth. And many of us don't realize that. It's established by zoning regulations. The notion is there, though not well articulated. On every single plot of land in Albemarle County and the city, there is an upper limit on the number of residential units that can be constructed, as well as a description of any commercial and industrial uses permitted. The sum total of these residential units on every piece of county land gives us the legal theoretical build-out. Build-out is the term. And if we multiply this total maximum number of houses by the average number of inhabitants in the county, 2.4, 2.5, we can calculate the county's present theoretical build-out population, its legal population cap. There already is one. So what is it? Nobody knows. We don't know because it's a very laborious and legally challenging chore to tally up on each plot of land what can be done. Has this plot been subdivided before or after 1980? That's a key variable. Do any other development rights accrue to it? Are development rights reduced because it's on a steep slope or because it's in a stream buffer or constrained in some other way? It's not an easy task. Jeff Werner at PEC has roughly looked at the county to get a sense of build-out and guesses, and it's an educated guess, but no more than a guess, that current county regulations would allow 3 or 4 times our present population. In a way, this answers Liz's question about future growth. Can we, will we grow on? At least we've got the potential. The ASAP Comprehensive Plan Amendment will require the county to calculate with reasonable accuracy the current potential build-out population so we can compare that number to the optimal size. Our hunch, of course, is that zoning now permits a much larger population than current residents believe would be optimal, and that we should do something about that. It's hard to us to imagine that effective planning is now occurring in the county without a sense of the final product of each planning effort. But that's just what's happening. Based on what we read in the headlines nearly every day, Albemarle County growth planning efforts are focused on master planning, that is, of individual growth areas, of specific neighborhoods, of commercial developments. We read about master planning of Pantops, of Crozet, of the North 29 corridor. Great attention is made to ensure that specific developments are well planned. Biscuit Run, the village of Rivanna, North Point, the next phase of Hollymead, Albemarle Place, and so on. But what's striking is the apparent neglect of the cumulative impact of all these developments. Each neighborhood, each growth area, each huge commercial development seems to be assessed all by itself, independent of the context. It reminds me of a person on a diet. Imagine someone who meticulously counts the calories in every portion, but doesn't count the number of portions, and wonders why he grows fatter and less healthy. We in Albemarle County don't have an accurate sense of the big picture of the cumulative consequences of our many individual actions. Our strategic planning is short-sighted, and the much ballyhooed master planning at a neighborhood level might be considered little more than well-intentioned tinkering. Our planners and decision makers either don't have an accurate idea of where our community is headed or don't care. Long-term planning is next Tuesday. And if we don't act soon, we'll soon have passed the demographic tipping point at which an optimal, sustainable population size can be achieved. Defining this optimal size won't be easy, and leveling off at a sustainable size will doubtless have massive opposition, and it will have undesirable consequences regarding affordable housing, for example, or property rights. But the consequences of not leveling off at the community's size at an optimal, sustainable number, not doing that, the consequences will be far more severe. The Ivy Creek Foundation, with its thoughtful stewardship of the two natural areas and its educational programs, helps us not only to appreciate the glories of our local environmental setting, but to recognize the limits of nature's bounty and the imperative to leave a rich legacy for the future. Ivy Creek, its members and its board, is poised, if it wishes, to help shift the public agenda in support of the expanded vision of sustainability I just sketched. I believe it would be in Ivy Creek's enlightened self-interest to join with other organizations in our community in preparing the comprehensive plan amendment ASAP will be working on in the coming months. For if we can't stabilize population, there isn't an ecosystem on Earth that can be saved. And if we don't act soon, in 20 or 30 years, residents of Albemarle County will say, damn, why didn't we identify an optimal size and level off at that point years ago? I believe those of us who support this public policy initiative today are on the right side of history. Thank you.
No parcel there is in isolation. Albemarle County is not in isolation. What about the zillions of dollars off the market of us in New Jersey and so on that are affecting property values here in such a way that even within the zoning, you can take a 5-acre tract and find somebody who will pay you $500,000 just for a site and then put a McMansion on it and so on?
Dick, it's a very good point. And we in ASAP have long argued that we must look at population planning regionally, and we don't know how big the region is, but certainly Northern Virginia would be part of it. And we must be planning in collaboration with contiguous counties, because what we do affects population growth in their areas, and they us. For example, if we were to succeed in this fantasy, people would move to cheaper places in neighboring communities, and we know they're already doing that. We're already forcing people, families who've lived here generations, to move into neighboring counties with their kids, and the counties now have to build the schools and provide the infrastructure for those families. While we lose them. I'll get back to your question, Dick, in a minute, but we did an analysis of the characteristics of the Charlottesville and Albemarle population some time ago, but the changes between 1990 and 2000 reflected in the census. Albemarle County is getting older and whiter and richer. Charlottesville is getting poorer and younger and blacker. Albemarle County, it's nifty for Albemarle County, isn't it? Because we get old folks who don't have kids and build McMansions for which there are impressive taxes. Charlottesville and the neighboring counties get screwed. Now, Dick, I don't know the answer to the specific problem you brought up, but you're right. I mean, these are issues that we would have to face. And I, you know, ASAP is quite candid in saying, gee, there are going to be a lot of problems, some of which we know and some we haven't anticipated yet. But we believe at this point that the risks of not doing this outweigh the costs of doing it.
Do you know of any other locations in the country who have proposed this kind of planning that have been successful?
Good question. No, in brief. But we entered it pretty naively. We knew that there were other communities, and we didn't want to invent the wheel. And we have good contacts with folks all over the country. And we shotgunned out, we waded through literature, emails and letters and telephone calls, and they said, okay, how do you do this? And they all said, do what? Are you doing it? Oh, I got a call yesterday that I haven't told. Our executive director, Jeff Sobel, is the guy with the beard back there, and Francis Fife is one of our founders and board members, and I haven't told you yet this, but I got a call from a guy in Baltimore yesterday who wants to come down. He's part of a similar, younger group, and he wants to come down here to learn everything we're doing. And I said, wait a minute, you know, what are you doing? It's the blind leading the blind at this point. We're stumbling around to try to find ways to go about this. But apparently we have glommed onto what seems to be an attractive strategy, at least at this stage. So, no, but we're in touch with everybody from Santa Barbara and Petaluma to Oregon and the state of Washington folks, to Boulder, to people on Nantucket, and Vermont has a sustainable council. I mean, we're trying to find out what can be done.
They
made a mistake in Boulder, and they're quick now to admit it. They limited residential housing, but not offices, not commercial space and offices. And so what happens is you can't live in, there's a nice green belt around it, but you can't live in it. But increasing flocks of people are driving in every day and clogging the roads. And now they're saying, oh, we should have done commercial, industrial, and residential limits simultaneously, not just residential. Other questions? Haven't I said enough provocative things to...
If your organization works on this plan of an optimal growth, so what then? Do you plan? I mean, obviously you have to sell it or...
Good question. Yes, what we want to do, we're working now on an announcement. You're the first to have heard this, incidentally. It hasn't hit the papers. We are working on a press release announcement that we hope will come out in August. At that point, we're going to take that both to the county, because we want them to know what we're doing, and the city, and to organizations and to individuals, and say, this is going to be a hell of a lot of work. Help us. Oh, let me go back one step. We had two thoughts about it. One thing, one alternative was to go to the county and say, this is what we want you to do, do it. And there were two fears. One, they would immediately say, no, go away. We don't have the time or staff. Or two, they would say yes, and then they would do what they wanted, and it wouldn't be what we wanted. So we decided to follow, this is Dennis Rooker's suggestion, the biodiversity model. And as you may know, Citizens for Albemarle worked for a year to draft the actual wording of a comp plan amendment on biodiversity, and then took it to the Board of Supervisors and said, this is what we want you to adopt. Well, we've decided to follow that model. So in the next year, we will be working on the wording of a document that won't be just a request, please do it. This is what we want in it. And we hope that organizations and individuals, and we'd be delighted if Ivy Creek would join us, will work with us, or at least support us. So when it is done and we go to the Board of Supervisors, there are a throng of thousands behind us, standing as one and saying, do this. We need support. And in the doing of it, we will raise awareness and consciousness about growth. And also, it wouldn't be bad if this issue became a campaign topic for the Board of Supervisors in the next elections. We would not be dismayed if candidates were to say, I stand this side or that side of what these folks are trying to propose. Well, the first thing we had to ask is essentially that, and the two sources of growth. One is it's called natural increase, the increase of births over deaths, and the other is net migration, the increase of in-migration over out-migration. And in Albemarle County, a little over 75% of the growth is a function of net migration. So the fact is, it ain't folks being born here. I mean, now, where do those folks come from? And the answer is, we don't really know. But they're coming from places where they can buy property a hell of a lot cheaper than where they were. And a lot of it's coming down from the north. It's a very attractive place. Who in their right minds wouldn't want to come here? And I think, actually, you reminded me of an issue that I think is important. We mustn't get mad at the folks who are coming because they're making the very choices that we or our ancestors made. I admire them for having the perspicacity to come to this nifty place. Secondly, we shouldn't even be mad at the developers. And that's hard to hear. But the developers are working within a system that rewards the kind of building they're doing. They're simply following the laws, the zoning ordinances, and so forth that we, citizens, have agreed to. The problem is systemic. The problem is the system, and it's up to us not to chastise the developers who are simply taking advantage of the system, but to change the system. And that's why we think this is a first step.
You've been listening to Jack Marshall, the president of Advocates for Sustainable Albemarle Population. Visit seavillepodcast.com for a link to the group. Please let us know what you thought about this podcast by leaving a comment. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, a public service of Wordcast Productions. We're the podcast partner of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. Check out the many weblogs available at dailyprogress.com. You can reach us at info@seavillepodcast.com. I'm Sean Tubbs, and thanks for listening.